Our scripture this morning is from Gospel according to John, chapter 1, verses 35 to 42. If you'd like to follow along, this can be found in the Pew Bibles on page 92 in the New Testament. As we prepare to hear God's word, let us pray. Saving God, source of our calling, your word is full of power and glory. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us that we may receive your grace in these words and live as your beloved children. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the very Word made flesh. Amen. John chapter 1, verses 35 through 42. The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. Beloved of God, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So for a good portion of this year, we're going to be in Matthew's gospel. This Sunday, the lectionary takes a little detour on this Sunday into John's gospel, into how John talks about the beginning of Jesus of his public ministry. The first disciples are beginning to follow Jesus, and it begins with John the Baptist. Now that's a different John than the John who's writing this. We remember John the Baptist from, we talked about him a little in the season of Advent, and it begins with John the Baptist pointing at Jesus and saying, "Look," or "Behold, see, here's the Lamb of God." And two of John's disciples, Andrew and his friend, they immediately leave John and just start following Jesus. And then at some point, I don't know if Jesus was feeling stalked or what, but he turns around to them and says, "What are you looking for?" Here in John's gospel account, those are the first words that Jesus says to anyone. Jesus hasn't spoken yet in John's gospel. His first words are a question. Question to these two disciples of John, and I think a question to us as well. What are you looking for? What are you looking for? You're looking for something. What is it? What a great question. Right? Because it's a question that invites us into something. What are you looking for? What is it that we're looking for that leads us to go and follow after, well, whatever it is that we're following after, right? What is it that we're looking for that leads us to follow after certain relationships, right? Certain politicians or other leaders? What leads us to follow after theories or even, you know, conspiracy theories, which there seem to be any number of these days? What are we really looking for in all of that? Or achieving certain levels of education or jobs, what are we looking for in those? Even things like favorite sports teams, right? What is it we're looking for? Depending on your team, perhaps it's just that misery loves company and you want some company, right? But what is it we're looking for when we follow after those sorts of things? We all leave behind some things in order to follow after others. What is it we're looking for? what we're after might be kind of innocuous, might be bad or unhealthy, it might be misdirected, it might be good. But all of us have those things that we are desperately looking for and following after. What are they? This is not just the first question Jesus asks in John's gospel account. This is the first thing out of his mouth. This is his opening statement. It's the question, what are you looking for? So Jesus asks these early, soon-to-be disciples, what are you looking for? And they answer, Teacher, Rabbi, where are you staying? Where are you abiding? Where are you making your home? Right? Maybe they say that because that question Jesus asked them is too penetrating, too revealing for the moment, so they deflect a little back onto Jesus. Or maybe somehow they instinctively, maybe even subconsciously, know that what they're looking for is simply for the place where Jesus is. But either way, Jesus simply answers, come and see. Come and see. And so they do. What are you looking for? Come and see. Real simple. Here at the beginning of this new year and these early weeks of 2023, real simple. That's what it's about, friends. Not about knowing all the answers or having it all together, but rather being invited into this question and this invitation from Jesus. Now later, these disciples will end up discovering and proclaiming and bearing witness to all these amazing things about who Jesus is and what he was about and what he did and what he is doing. But that begins here. And John's telling of the story of Jesus, it begins with Jesus' very first words. This question, what are you looking for? Think about that for a moment. Jesus, the one who is truth, who is truth itself, begins with a question, invites us into a question. Questions are not the opposite of faith. They are not a danger to faith. They are integral to it. In fact, more and more, I am convinced that faith and following Jesus is as much about learning the right questions to be asking and chewing on than they are about having a list of right answers. Do not be afraid of questions, even questions that we don't really know the answer to. Jesus' ministry here, John's Good News Gospel story, begins with Jesus inviting us all into a question. And his next words, come and see. A question, and then this invitation. This invitation certainly to see perhaps where he was staying, this invitation to those disciples on that day at that time to see where he's staying, but also, I suspect, more than that, where he is going and where he will be. Or even, yes, it's an invitation, but maybe it's a promise as well. Come and see. His first words, a question that he asks of them, and he asks of us, and then a promise he makes to them. A promise he makes to us. Maybe because he knows all of us, we're all looking for that something. But he also knows that we're not always so sure what it is that we're looking for. And sometimes we think we know, but we're a little confused about what it should or even could be. What are you looking for? Maybe for those of us who aren't exactly sure what we're looking for, or for those of us who might be looking for the wrong things or confused things, maybe come and see. It's not just an invitation. It's an invitation into a promise, into an unfolding promise, into a journey discovering more and more that promise. What are you looking for? What are you looking for? Jesus asks. And then answers, well, why don't you come and see what it is deep down you're really looking for when you're running after all these other things. Come and let's discover it together, Jesus is saying. This is how it begins, with a question Jesus asks and an invitation into a promise that he is giving us. This is how the gospel writer John opens his telling of Jesus' public ministry and the calling and building of his disciples, of those that would be the beginning of this community that eventually gets called the church, this community called and formed to proclaim the good news and embody the kingdom that has drawn near in Jesus Christ. John, the gospel writer, the one who, if you remember, he opens the beginning of chapter 1, he opens with these huge, grand, deep, theological ideas about the Word that was God and at the same time, or the Word that was with God and at the same time was God and that became flesh and dwelt and walked among us. The one who was light and life, full of grace and truth, through whom we receive grace upon grace and who makes God known to us. John, the gospel writer, the one who begins his gospel with these very deep, profound, hard to wrap your head around concepts about the nature of God and Jesus. Isn't it amazing that with all of that, when he gets to actually talking about what that looks like, playing out in history and in life, when all of that shows up there in the flesh for these first disciples, it's simply about a question and an invitation into a promise. And for all his soaring poetry and theology, John also seems to know that it's only in the context of this question and this invitation and this promise to come and see, the invitation into a journey and unfolding story of loving and being loved by God, that we can ever begin to understand the depth and the riches of who Jesus is and who we are in him. Andrew goes to his brother Simon, right? And says, "We found the Messiah." And he brings Simon to Jesus. And Jesus looks at Simon and says, "You are Simon, but you are to be called Cephas," or Peter. Cephas and Peter both mean rock. Andrew introduces his brother Simon to Jesus. And Jesus looks at Simon and says, all right, Simon, but I'm calling you Rocky. He gives him a nickname, Rocky. But if you know anything about Peter over the next few years as he follows Jesus, he is anything but a rock. He does not live up to his name. He's rash and rambunctious. He is impetuous and impulsive, and he gets so many things so wrong. He is much more like the shifting sands than a rock, right? So Sandy, maybe, I could get that. I'm calling you Sandy. But Rocky? I don't know, Jesus. But Jesus looks at him and says, "You're going to be a rock. I'm calling you Rocky right now. Not because of who you are now, but because hang out with me long enough, and that's who you're going to become. Come and see. Come and see and discover with me," Jesus says, "who you are. Travel with me long enough, and you might end up surprising a lot of people, perhaps even yourself." And in fact, well, the passage that follows where we stop this morning happens on the next day. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee, John writes. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip found Nathanael and said to him, We found him about whom Moses and the law and the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" There's Nathanael, right? He might be my favorite here. He's a doubter and a cynic, and he is pretty quick with the insults, at least with the sarcasm. Philip comes to him and says, "We found the one all of Scripture points to. It's this guy, Jesus of Nazareth." And Nathanael says, "Psh, nothing good can come from Nazareth. Are you kidding me?" Nazareth was a a small, nothing, wrong side of the tracks kind of town. Can anything good come from there? Can anything good come from those people over there? Can anything good come from the other side of that divide, that border, that part of the world, that neighborhood, from that side of the political aisle? Can anything good come from what's going on right now in my life? Anything good come from this diagnosis I've just received? Can anything good come from that type of family? From my family? Can anything good come from my history? From where I am? From that mess I seem to keep making over and over again? Here in these opening weeks of this new year, can anything good come from that past year? Or the culmination of all my years? Can anything good come from there? Well, Nathaniel asked that question. There are then echoes on this next day of that first day. Philip said to him, "Come and see." Philip just echoes Jesus. Philip just echoes the invitation, the promise that he himself has been invited into. And so when Jesus saw Nathanael, John continues on, coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" And Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you. I already knew you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? Do you believe because I already know you? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." You know, it strikes me that if we really want people to follow Jesus, what this world needs, if we really want people to come and see, dare I say, if we want to come and see, what we need, what the world needs, what the church needs, is simply more people echoing Jesus, inviting one another to simply come and see Jesus. To come and see and discover all the things of God's kingdom. Inviting one another to come and see and discover this one who came to bind up the brokenhearted and stand with the least of these. Who came to scatter the proud and bring down the powerful from their thrones. To fill the hungry with good things and send the rich away empty. Discovering how justice might yet roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Seeing and discovering how good news might yet be brought to the poor and poor in spirit, and release proclaimed to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, how the oppressed might yet go free, and all the myriad of ways the year of the Lord's favor can be proclaimed. To come and see. Feet to be washed, hungry and hungering to be filled and fed, strangers to be welcomed, shame to be covered, sickness of one kind or another to be healed. Those imprisoned in one way or another, by one thing or another, to be visited. The least of these cared for, and maybe even the glory of God shown and made known in all His grace and truth, and from His fullness, grace upon grace poured out. And the things of forgiveness, of sins, and salvation, and redemption, and all things being reconciled in and to Him. Invitation to come and see. To come and see that the love of God and our true hope always comes shaped like a cross. Coming to be clear about which kingdom he belongs to. To fulfill all that God has said, calling for repentance and trust in this gospel good news that Jesus proclaims. Showing us where salvation and redemption is truly found. not just for our souls, but for all that God has created and called good. What else, family? What else could we possibly be looking for? What else could we possibly hope to see in this world and discover in our lives than that? Because those are the places where Jesus says he abides, where he makes his home, where he will be found. Dare we come and see? And dare we echo this very invitation and promise to one another and to our communities and our nation and to the world? Jesus begins with this question to all of us, an inviting question to all of us. And then he follows it up with an invitation into a promise for us that we will come and see an unfolding discovery of where he is. Let us come and see. And then we might yet see far greater things than we could even perhaps imagine. Perhaps even places where the presence of Jesus opens it all up and the things of heaven touch the earth. And the things of earth are caught up in the things of heaven. What are we looking for? Family, Jesus invites us. He invites us to have the courage to come and the courage to see, to really see what might yet be possible. You know, last Sunday we ordained and installed new classes of deacons and elders, and we asked them some questions. We do that to all deacons and elders that we ordain and install. And one of the questions, it's an ordination and installation question, and by the way, it's the same question I was asked when I was ordained as a pastor. Will you seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love? Now that third one there sometimes makes us go, wait, what? Will you seek to serve with imagination? I think Jesus is inviting us all here to be open to what might yet be possible, to imagine with him what might yet be possible, new ways of living, new ways of ministering, new ways of serving and loving, inviting us to have our imagination opened to what God might yet do, what we might yet see. And so, beloved, let us come and see that the very life of Jesus might echo in our lives. For Jesus is the one whose very life asks questions of us and our lives. He is the one whose very life invites us into the promise of looking in the right places for the right things and all the surprising places to discover where Jesus abides and what we might yet see in our lives, in our life together, and in the world. What are you looking for? This is Jesus' invitation to you, to me, and to us. Come and see. Amen. I invite you to stand in response, in body or in spirit, as we sing, Will You Come and Follow Me, which can be found on the yellow insert in your bulletin.